Kahababe.
So some last words from Siado, he said.
Retreat bidan bidan pyo aya ba pyo.
Yes. At the end of every retreat, he does this.
Yin pyo chin na di tiya sakhan phit phit myaw yi twet phit se de support a long go. I am so stop the everybody yogi yo a long jesus tin ma.
Firstly, he wants to thank everybody who made this retreat possible. IMS, the staff, the support staff, and all the yogis.
Yogi atubare.
And the yogis have practiced diligently, all of you.
So, tiyasakam bibi suro. Tiyasakam me bida ba. Meditation no, me yapa ne.
And although the retreat is over, he said the practice is not over. Meditation is not over. He said, please, don't let it be over. He said he always says this. Delusion loves this line when it hears that the retreat has ended. Yeah, because the way we usually say it to ourselves, well, in Burmese is, you know, we've finished meditating. Yes. So it sounds like if the meditation practice has ended, then it's time for the defilements to come out and play again. The defilements look at the yogis and say, you want to practice? All right. How long do you want to practice? 1 month? 2 months? 3 months? All right, I'll leave you alone. And then it's my turn. And it's really their turn.
Hold it.
He said it's true. So please don't let the practice end. Don't let meditation be finished.
Now เตียอัธุเนี่ยตะภาวะแหละอะยินตรงอ่ะแหละ
He said he went for long, long retreats when he was younger, 6 months, 8 months, 10 months. And long retreats. But he says once he finished the retreat, he says he was back to square one. He didn't change. He didn't change his life. While he was practicing in retreat, he says, yes, his mind was better. But because he didn't continue practice at home, then the mind went back to where it was before. So the very nature of meditation is that we have to meditate all the time. Sila, Samadhi, Panya, Noble Eightfold Path, he says, all these must be, we must be walking on that path all the time, practicing all those factors all the time. The Buddha always reminded his followers to not be heedless, to not forget that all things are impermanent, that mind and matter are impermanent, and to always have that in mind. In other words, to always have the Dhamma in mind. He didn't say when to have the Dhamma in mind. He just said, have the Dhamma in mind. don't be heedless. And if he just said, do not be heedless, it means all the time. And that's because the Buddha understood how harmful delusion is. Because when awareness and wisdom are not present, delusion is automatically always present. But if one's delusion is in and has opened the door, he says, then all the other defilements can troop in. And this particular aspect of meditation that you need to practice all the time for it to be alive and to be giving benefits, he says, that becomes most apparent to someone who does continually practice all the time. That you can't stop. For someone who is practicing all the time, the depth of the meaning of do not stop practicing, or you have to practice all the time, the depth of meaning for that person is great. His teacher always reminded him when he finished a retreat and went home. His teacher would always say, continue practicing, continue practicing. But he never did. So he got into deep trouble. And when he was in the deepest trouble, then he tried to practice at home. And when he began to practice continuously at home is when he began to realize why you need to keep continuing to practice all the time. He says to grow in the Dharma, we need to be close to the Dharma, like a close friend. It's only when we are close to, in such close communication with the Dharma all the time, that we can grow in the Dharma, he says. Otherwise, he says, there's not much growth. If we are not always living with the Dharma, he says, how can the Dharma grow? Seattle feels that there is three kinds of wisdom that we really need. And the first wisdom is the wisdom of understanding how to do right practice. So knowing what right practice is, that if adhered to steadily, will lead to the flowering of insight. And the second kind of wisdom we need is the understanding of how to keep the insights that we have developed alive. Mm-hmm. That they continue to be alive in our lives, in our minds. And the third understanding is how to then not just to understand how to continue practicing to then develop even deeper levels of insight.
business နဲ့ပြောမယ်ဆိုရင် business နဲ့ဥပမာနဲ့ပြောမယ် business နဲ့ပြောမယ်ဆိုပတ်စံရှာတတ်တယ
်
ပတ်စံရအောင်ဘယ်လိုလုပ်ရမလဲဆိုတာတိတိညာ
He gives the analogy of knowing how to run a business of knowing how to make money
ဒုတိယကကြားလာတဲ့ပတ်စံတွေကိုဒီစုထိုင်စုထားနိုင်တယ်စုနိုင်နေညာမကုံအောင်ထိမ့်သိမ့်နိုင်နေညာ
So first it's knowing how to use your capital to start making money and then it's knowing how to maintain your cash flow so to speak and then the third stage of business is knowing how to expand your business the yogis here have had insights you know how to practice so that insights will come
interview မှာဆိုကြားနေတယ်ဉာဏ်ဤဖြစ်တယ်သူဉာဏ်ဤဖြစ်လာပြီဉာဏ်ဖြစ်အောင်အထောက်နိုင်ပြီ
He's heard in the interviews how many of you have practiced and have had insights
အဲဒုတိယတစ်ခုကြားနေတယ်အဲ့ဉာဏ်ဤမကြအောင်ဘယ်လိုလုပ်မလဲ
So the second bit starts to come into play how do you keep those insights alive continuing to live in your life
မကြအောင်ဆိုတာဉာဏ်ဤဆက်ကဖြစ်ဖို့လိုလေးတယ
် For an insight to not fade For the understanding of the insight to not fade in our minds, we have to allow that understanding to arise over and over again in our minds. And so you have to continue practicing the way you have been practicing here.
So, I know, thay nai bi so ma, shay ni ya la bi so ma, doa, di de, ji ba ong, ji, gom ni ji li lo lo ya ma bo.
And so once you're able to maintain, and keep alive the insights you've already had and continue your practice he says then it so just like money he says so once you have maintained some level of capital he says then you can grow it even further
ပါဘာလဲနေစားအလုပ်တမလို့ဖြစ်နေ
အခု
နေ့လို့တနေ့စားရှိတော့လောက်နေ
အခုလာ
ဟိုမထိန်နိုင်ဘူးဆိုတော့မထိန်နိုင်ဘူးဆိုနေစားအလုပ်တမလို့ဖြစ်နေ
Yeah if we don't know how to maintain the practice or keep our finances in balance he says then we become like daily rated workers who have just enough money every day to survive each day making ends meet
now ဥပမာတစ်ခုခေါင်းနဲ့ပေါ်လာအရှိန်အရေးကြီးတဲ့အကြောင်းပြောဟုတ်အမြင့်ခုံလာ
another example comes to mind he said
အမြင့်ခုံခြင်းနဲ့ဆိုရင်အရှိန်နဲ့ပြေးလာပြီးတော့အနိုင်အောင်အရှိန်ရှိမှတော့ခုံလို့ရ
he says it's like jumping like taking a high jump he says to take a high jump they have to run gain momentum as they approach the high jump so that they can jump high enough
အခုယောဂီတော်များများဘယ်လိုဖြစ်နေဆိုဒီအတန်းလာရောက်ရင်တော့ကြည့်ပြီးတော့ပြန်လဲပ
ါ He says now He says we're like running towards the high jump we get to the pole we look up at it and then we walk back Because there is no momentum to take that jump
The car retreat when like ဆက်ပြေးပါပြီ
He says when we get into retreat we start running
ပြီးတော့အခုခုံနေတဲ့ခင်ကတော့ခုံမကြည့်လိုက်တော့အရှင်းရမရှိ
But at the but when we have to take that jump we don't have enough momentum to jump
So အရှင်းတော့ဘယ်အလုပ်ပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်ဘယ်အလုပ်မှပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်စီးပွားရေးပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်လူမှုရေးပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်ပညာရေးပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်စာမားရေးပဲဖြစ်ဖြစ်အရှင်းသိရကြည့်တယ
် So momentum he says is so important in every aspect of our lives whether it's education social interaction you know academia technology you know in every sphere of our world he says it's momentum that makes things better and better
အရှိန်ရှိရင်တော့လွယ်လဲလွယ်တယ်တော့ကြီးပွားအောင်လည်းဆက်ကြီးပွားအောင်လည်းလုပ်လို့ရအရှိန်မရှိဘာမှလုပ်လို့မရအရ
ှိန်ရှိရင်လွယ်လဲလွယ်တ
ယ်ကြီးပွားအောင်လည်းလုပ်လို့ရတိုးတက်အောင်လည်းလုပ်လို့ရ
he says when there's momentum it's not only easy to do what you have to do you also it's also easy to make it grow and become better He says, like if a doctor stops practicing for 6 months, he says then, you know, they can feel unsure from being out of touch. So any kind of work we do, he says we need to be like close to it, familiar to with it, always in touch with it. Then we are skillful at it.
Yeah.
He says, we talk about how long we've been practicing meditation, but what we're referring to is the first time we began, like the first time we did a retreat or we started meditation, but he says, it's not all the time, all that time that we have been actually practicing continuously. You know, if you add up the hours that you are actually mindful, that would be a different picture. So he says our tendency is to think of right effort as putting in a lot of effort in the present moment. But he says right effort is actually about persistence, perseverance, staying the long haul. Not giving up. Never stopping. Keep on working. That's real right effort. The way we work, he says, we can, you know, we're willing to put a lot of effort into a small amount of time in the hope of getting some result, reward. But that's how greed does things. But wisdom looks at the long term. There's no hurry, but it will not rest. The more we understand the forces of nature and how they work, the more we begin to rely on the laws of nature to let things unfold in a steady way. So he's using this word nature over and over again. He says it's not for nothing. When something becomes your nature or second nature to you, as we say in English, it means that the momentum of that is very strong in you, that it has become your nature. He said, people ask him, how long should we practice yado? And he says, if you really want to know, he says, look at your mind now. How natural is it for the defilements to be in the mind, unnoticed to you? And he said, and you've got to turn that whole paradigm upside down so that what's natural and unnoticed and always going on in your mind is awareness, samadhi, and wisdom. The way the defilements are now.
Yeah.
Does that make you depressed or want to make you press forward and go the distance? He says sometimes it's hard to tell the truth because he's worried that he'll, you know, make it sound difficult. Yeah, but it's the truth. To turn the momentum of the mind, the current mind, completely around, so that it's going in a completely in the direction of the wholesome rather than unwholesome. He says, can you imagine how much practice that's going to take? He says, now, don't look, because liking and disliking is going to arise. We hear something and liking and disliking is here. We smell, liking and disliking is here. That's nature to us now. But when we look and awareness and wisdom is present, and that's normal, he said, then you can begin to trust that awareness and wisdom. He says, now, when there's contact at the six sense doors, liking and disliking arise spontaneously or instantly, and awareness is crawling after it to catch up. He says, yeah, crawling hard. But it's not impossible. It's definitely possible to get there. When he became a monk, it was not with the intention to teach. He never thought he would teach. But his teacher said, you must tell people what you understand. So he did. And then he saw that a lot of people did not believe that it's possible to practice like on retreat when you're back home. So that's also something that he wants to convince us of. And so that motivated him to continue teaching, because he really wants us to know that it's possible to do it at home. When there is skillful practice. The only reason why we are not able to transplant it into our lives is because of lack of skill. We don't know yet, or we are not practicing enough yet. In the Buddha's time, there were no retreat centers. People listened to Dharma talks, they went home, continued with their lives while and trying to insert practice into their lives. He thinks that, well, the people in that time must have had a lot of faith because, well, they had the Buddha himself. So they must have really put in this superlative effort when they got home. And when they went to listen to Dharma talks, it was to learn how to practice. And the only place they had to practice was back in their lives. And he's heard that many people got enlightened. Many lay people got enlightened in the Buddha's time. So what is the difference between us and the human beings in that time? He doesn't think there could be much difference. Possibly, he said, the difference is that it's of faith and effort. Maybe they tried a lot harder. He says, possibly when they didn't understand how to practice, they'd go back to the monastery, ask for more instructions, and then go back and continue practicing. So skillfulness, skill in understanding, skill and understanding of how to do right practice is very important. Most of us become skillful at the first foundation of mindfulness. Kaya Nupasana, foundation of the body, mindfulness of the body, and we become skillful at mindfulness of feelings, but we don't become skillful at mindfulness of the mind. So the third and fourth foundations, we're not that skillful at.
Bajang lezu lo, oh, cinga jama macam, alap alap jama le. Saya nampak, yang yang macam si dia, biang doa bi. Lalu kan lah, dia sekarang biang sah, macam si lo, sah biang lah. Tegaya wujudna, gaya wujudna, gaya wujudna. Ayah mana dia ni?
And he says, particularly if we only have time for short retreats. He says, short retreats give us enough time to calm our minds a bit. We go through the first foundation, the second foundation. We haven't got really established in the third or the fourth, and then we go home. And if we don't practice, he says, we come back for the next retreat and we have to start all over again.
So, say it's pissing, get it out. I'm not seeing it.
Okay. He says, practice in our lives is like rowing against a strong current. And he says, even as we row, it seems to be hard to gain ground on the strong current. So we have to practice a lot harder to go against the current. And even when we do the first foundation of mindfulness, he says, we mostly know body movements and body sensations. We haven't even covered all five sense doors yet. And so, because we're not skillful at all the physical sense doors, he says, then when we get out in life, the skill is not there to bring mindfulness into every activity. He knows that most yogis have not had much practice in being aware of seeing, for example. So when we become skillful at all six sense doors, and not just skillful, really, like have a handle on it, he says, that's when we find ourselves confident about practicing while at home in our lives. At home, there's, you know, in our lives, we can't control what goes on around us. So it's, the match is truly open. We don't know what circumstances or situations are going to
come.
Yeah, we can't predict what objects or people or situations are going to come hit us.
So,
So when the awareness and the wisdom are not always present and ready, like on standby, he says, then the defilements are allowed to arise over and over again. We just can't get peace. And then we can't make inroads into the practice. And he says, even if we forget about wisdom for a while, he says, we're not even able to really maintain just awareness and samadhi in our lives continuously. How long can we maintain the peace, the stability of our mind in our lives? The Buddha said that when there are waves on the surface of a lake, you can't like see a reflection. When there is turbulence in the water under the surface, you won't be able to see your reflection. Or when there's dust or dirt or leaves which have fallen on the surface of the water, you can also not see your reflection. So so the mind is like that. If it cannot find that stability, he says, then wisdom cannot arise.
And if we
could maintain that stability of the mind, that would mean that awareness is present, stability is present, and the longer we're able to maintain it, the more we're giving an opportunity for wisdom to arise. Now he says, you all know how to watch the body, how to watch the mind. Continue watching. When he was practicing at home, when he began practicing at home, he was suffering so much. His only question was, why is the mind suffering? And because he asked that question, what resulted was that he just kept watching the mind all the time. At first it was just suffering. He didn't know why, but it was suffering. But slowly, from watching that continuously, the awareness grew, the samadhi grew, the mind became more peaceful, there was less suffering. And when the mind began to have more peace, then he made the peace the main object for his awareness. That became the anchor for his mind, knowing the peacefulness. And knowing the peaceful mind, he said, the steady mind, he was also aware of everything else that was happening in the mind. So whatever contact he made with external or internal experience, his eye was always on the peacefulness and whether it was getting disturbed or maintained. He says, when you know peaceful mind, it continues to be peaceful and becomes more and more peaceful. When you don't know peaceful mind, then the mind starts breaking down into chaos. But once you know the agitated mind and continue to know the agitated mind, it starts to become peaceful again. But if you do not know the agitated mind and the confused mind, it gets more agitated and more confused. But once you again know the agitation or the confusion and continue to know it, it will begin to become clear again. And when you know peaceful mind continuously, he says, then when the peace is disturbed and you're knowing everything happening that's happening in the mind, you also see immediately what thought preceded the change in the state of peaceful mind. So even if we don't watch a lot of objects, just know the state of our mind all the time. It can work. He says, that's the main guy, he said. Because when you know the state of your mind, the feeling, he says, you're knowing the body, the feeling, the mind, yeah, all at once. You don't need to. No need to go after many objects. Just know the state of your mind, know it's peaceful or not peaceful, how it is. And keep that as your anchor, as you know everything else. As you do everything else. He says, and if you do this every day, you will become skillful at it.
အဲ့တော့မဖြစ်နိုင်တာမဟုတ်ပါဘူးတနည်းနည်းနည်းသုံးနည်းဆိုကြည်ပါခြေနေနည်းနည်းလေးစိတ်ရှိပါ
And it's not that it's not possible you definitely can just be a little patient 1 2 3 years a little patience
တကယ်အဲ့တော့အစတိုင်အားထုတ်လာလို့ဒီသတိဉာဏ်ရဲ့အချိုးတွေကိုကောင်းကောင်းနားလည်လာပြီဆိုတရားဆွဲခေါ်ပါလိမ့်မယ်အချိန်တိုင
်းဟိစပြန်ပြောပါဗျာ
အဲ့တော့စတိုင်အားထုတ်လာလို့တတိဉာဏ်ရဲ့အချို
းအ
င်း value ကိုနားလည်လာပြီဆိုရင်တရားက
ဆွဲခေါ်လာတယ်ဘာလို့တပီတော့တစ်ချိန်လုံးမေ့လဲပထမစကားပါလဲ
စတိုင်ပြီးအားထုတ်လ
ာစတိုင်ပြီးရပ်ဆိုဖ်ဝီပရက်တစ်စ်ကွန်တီနျူအက်စ်လီဟီဆေးစ်ဝီဝီလ်တေးစ်တ်ဒ်ဘီနီဖစ်စ်အော့ဖ်အဝဲနက်စ်အန်ဝစ်ဒမ်အန်ဝန်ဝီဗ်တေးစ်တက်ဒ်အင်နဖ်ဟီဆေးစ်ဒ်ဒါမာwill lead us along he says it'll be an easy ride
မဆွာမြန်တယ်ပြောတာရှိတယ်တရားကိုစောင့်ရှောက်ရင်တရားကိုပြန်စောင့်ရှောက်မယ်ဆိုတဲ့စကားအဲ့တော့မှတဘောပေါက
် he says it was when he practiced like that that he finally understood what the buddha said when he said if you look after the dharma will look after you or if you take care of the dharma will take care of you
ဟုတ်ရေးရှိအထုတ်လာတော့တဘာဝဖြစ်လာပြီတဘာဝဖြစ်ပြီဆိုမှတဘာဝရဲ့ဓမ္မဆိုတော့တဘာဝကိုပြောတယ်တဘာဝကလှုပ်လှုပ်တာတိလို့ရ
When you practice long term, then practice becomes nature. And when practice becomes nature, it becomes your nature to understand nature.
Dhamma is nature.
Because the Dhamma is nature.
So he
encourages all of you to please continue practice. He says you all are very intelligent. You have lots of wisdom.Yes,
so, and he believes that you all will take the practice
home. And he believes that you all will take the practice home. And he makes an aspiration for all of you to be able to practice at home and to enjoy all the fruits and benefits of your practice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah. Anything else?
yes. Yeah. Please remember to return your room keys. Your office has
us. Sudo byawa.
See, now you ring the bell. That's why the bell's here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I didn't say anything.
Sarah's leaving at 11 o'clock to go to the airport, but he said, because he didn't want to do a Q&A, but he said, until 11 o'clock, everyone is free to come up and speak to him. So go for it.